So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
What are you laughing about?
I was just thinking about how today is a Ty Dolla $ign song.
Yeah, that is really funny. My name is Travis Bean, and today we're, I don't want to give anything away, but we're talking about a Ty Dolla $ign song.
Oh, man, you just let the cat out of the bag.
I know. I mean, I know you mentioned it earlier, and I just mentioned it there, but yeah, you know, we're not talking about Kanye. It feels weird. We're not talking about Kanye.
Except, thankfully, to your great relief, Kanye is the featured artist on the song.
Oh, thank God. I got to listen to the song then if we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, do that real fast and come back.
All right. Okay, I'm back.
Ah, what'd you think?
We're just kidding. I've already listened to it. I've listened to the hell out of it. I've analyzed the hell out of it. I know every single line from Kanye. I can break it down. I can do a dissertation on Kanye's verse in this song.
Yeah, we actually did spend the last like 45 minutes talking about this song.
I will, if anybody out there decides to do their thesis on Kanye's verse in this song, I will serve in the committee. I'll give you like $20. And I will put in a good word for you whenever I meet Kanye.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
That's very, very kind of you. Yeah, I won't, but I will cheer anybody on that wants to write about this as their dissertation and would ask you more about what school you're at.
And how you possibly did it.
Yeah, that would be pretty fascinating. But ego death, you know, I was under the wrong impression about this song.
Tell me more about that.
So, you know, there's a whole mysticism, I feel like, at this point around Yandhi and what was going to be on Yandhi, what wasn't going to be on Yandhi. And I've only ever seen ego death talked about in terms and context of Yandhi, seeing people being like, here's a leak from Yandhi's song Ego Death, or the leaked album itself having Ego Death on it, or track lists people have made having Ego Death. There have been like Reddit and Yandhi leak posts that are like, where do you place Ego Death in the album? So for the last like 6 months, I've just been under the impression that this song was a Kanye song that he then gave to Ty Dolla $ign, very much the way that he gave Piss on Your Grave to Travis Scott, or the two songs to Big Sean and a couple others that he just sent out to people once So Help Me God kind of fell apart. But it turns out that's not the case. No. It was actually a Ty Dolla $ign song the entire time.
Yeah, and Kanye and Ty are friends, so that's why Kanye's there. Let's stop speculating and theorizing everything related to Yandhi.
Yeah, I guess not everything has to do with Yandhi, which is
crazy.
That's weird. What?
It is funny that people think this would be on Yandhi. The song's called Ego Death. Like, I can't think of a more egotistical title of an album than Yandhi.
But he was trying to say that, oh, no, wait. Yeah.
Chris, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Yeah, you're right. So actually, Ty Dolla $ign recently did an interview with Zane Lowe, and he said that basically I was at a party and I don't remember, which is always a good way to start a story.
Doesn't he talk about doing drugs and drinking too much alcohol in this song?
Yeah, basically I was at a party and I don't remember. I need to start sentences like that.
And end sentences like that. That, like, that's your that's your answer to a question.
Basically, I was at a party and I don't remember. I heard I heard some girls saying something about some guy like, oh, that's the death of his ego. I'm like, wow, that's hard. It's like I had the song Ego Death, and then I made the beats, and then I was watching Instagram, and there was some video of Ye walking through Chicago. Then he was like, hold up, there's a train going by. I thought that was so hard, just seeing him just walking through Chicago by himself. So I sampled that part, and then I went out to Chicago to work on Yandi with him. Then I played the record, and he went crazy.
You know, every time I walk under a bridge here, I wonder if it's the bridge Kanye walked under in that moment.
You can absolutely go find that video and figure out the sky. I'm sure there's people online that have already figured out what street he was on, what block, and
I don't want to know that. I want to just hope that it's the bridge that I'm walking under in the moment.
I guess I can see how it would ruin the romanticism of it.
Yeah, because it feels like I'm there with Kanye in 2018.
That's just going to be Chicago for you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're going to be
I only want to remember Kanye from the year 2018.
I just imagine you getting you're 83 years old and your grandkids are like, Grandpa, tell us a story. And you're like, well, have I ever told you the one about Kanye in Chicago in 2018?
Grandpa, why do every time you walk under a bridge, you longingly look into the sky and go,
I'm just thinking about trains going by. But Grandpa, trains haven't been used in decades.
And then I'm like, I've always just wondered if this was the bridge Connie walked under. And my grandkid's like, actually, he walked under. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, you little brat.
I told you, don't make Pappy mad.
I'm not calling Grant Pappy. Call him Pappy. Jesus. All right, let's move on from this.
I appreciate the attempt. So Ego Death has been in the works for a while. I got to say, when I first heard the song, I never heard any of the leaks. I mean, I've listened to some leaks from Yandy, but I never heard any of the Ego Death leaks. So when I heard him sampling the part of Kanye being like, there's a train, I was like, oh my God.
I know that.
Oh my God, it is pretty hype.
Yeah, it's great.
But the song, I didn't expect it to be as good as it is.
Oh, you know what? I was gonna ask you, because we did spend a lot of time talking about the song, but we never once asked each other, like, do you like the song? So you like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Like, I guess I kind of just feel like every song that's gonna release is gonna sound like Little Uzi Vert, or I feel like every song sounds like Uzi these days, or is just in that vein of that, like, I don't know, trap pop style. That just having a song come out from somebody that's been kind of associated with Kanye in the past that just isn't in that vein of where I think pop hip hop has gone. And I know Ty's not necessarily like a hip-hop artist in that way. He has a lot more singer in him. Mm-hmm. But I had that sense of it going in, and I'm very happy and surprised by it.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't sound like most music you hear on the radio today. Like, it really, as a lot of people have pointed out on Twitter, it has a very fade vibe. Like, it sounds like house music. And it's kind of slow and methodical. It doesn't ever really blow up too much. You know, it just kind of steeps in that groovy beat it's got going the whole time. It's cool.
Yeah, that payoff you get when Twigs comes in. Oof, with the Queen Latifah sample is fantastic. It does feel to me like Fade and I Love It were combined to make, because Fade isn't enough of an actual song. Mm-hmm. And I Love It is too ridiculous of a song. So you actually have the great beats and textures and of Fade and of I Love It, but given the seriousness of like a legitimate, I put that in quotes, it sounds pretentious, but like a full song.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think most of the I Love It vibes come from Kanye himself, because this is the first time I think Kanye sounded like this since I Love It. Like, I was so pleased. When I first heard Kanye's verse, I was very confused. I'll admit that right up front. I was like, what is this guy talking about? But also the feeling I had was like one of relief and one of like, oh, I'm so happy like Kanye's rapping like this. Like, I kind of thought, you know, as serious as Kanye's been lately, like with Jesus is King and like what he's been talking about in his records and what his focus has been, I didn't expect him to make something like this strange sounding. Like, I don't know, but I just didn't expect this side of him to come out, and I was so pleased that it did.
Which, you say that, and what's interesting about it is that this was probably recorded before Jesus is King. We may be a little off here, because I think people that follow leaks will have more information than us, but from what I at least read on Twitter and the responses I got, Kanye's verse is the exact same as a leaked version that came out or was heard in 2019, or at least as recently as February of 2020. So it was either before Jesus is King, maybe even recorded at the end of 2018, right? With all the Yandy stuff when Ty went out there. But at least like as recent as February, if that's the case. But it kind of just takes you back then, like, is this what OG Yandy could have sounded like, or is this kind of the space Kanye was in that 2018-2019 before kind of getting into more of the Jesus is King mindset and where he went there?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like that in a lot of ways, like, you know, the house feel and everything. Like, it sounds like a Kanye song in a lot of ways, but also the fact that he says shit and they had to like bleep him saying shit, like, he wouldn't do that anymore. That's a knock against the Christian scorecard, so.
Right, so that probably points to this being like 2018, early 2019, right?
Right, yeah.
It threw me for a loop at first, because I was thinking that this verse, when I first heard it, was more recent. So I was like, oh, see, Kanye's bending the rules.
Yeah, kind of bending the rules. Like, I can say shit out loud in the recording studio, but then you have to bleep it.
Right.
Because I don't want God to hear it.
Yeah. Everybody, silence the booth. This is soundproof, right? Nobody outside can hear it. God, you can't hear it.
Godproof, right? Right, Ty? You said it was Godproof.
And he just kind of whispers like, shit.
Yeah. Godproof for sure.
I also didn't expect the verse to be as long as it is. Like,
yeah.
Which was cool because it feels dominant. I mean, Ty has a first verse and a second verse, but they're really shorter. And especially with the chorus kind of coming back in a couple times, Kanye feels a bit more dominant just because of how rangy his verse is and how many bars he has.
I guess like it kind of feels like a Kanye song in that sense, because this is already how Kanye and Ty songs work. Like, Kanye has a bunch of parts and Ty just comes in and sprinkles in little feature parts.
Yeah, right. Though if that's Ty's style as well, no, it'll be interesting because this is the lead single from his album Dreamhouse that's going to come out. So I really will be interested in hearing what more like full Ty songs sound like when he has like longer verses like this.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Dude has been on his grind.
Sure has.
That was something, the Aunt Clemens album came out earlier in February, and that was really exciting and cool too, just to see him, who I'd only heard really in those feature moments, giving those kind of refrains and choruses, just have his own full songs and what he brought to the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's dig into this. Let's give Ty some credit.
Yeah. So Ego Death, it's kind of cool. Just with the song with that title, you get a few different facets of ego death on it. Like, he has that line, ego death is where you find happiness. That's the only place you find happiness. Off too many drugs, it's so bad for us. One too many drinks and you had enough, which I would think looks at ego death and how it applies to like LSD and drug trips, where they often say, or from what I've read, the first step is this ego death, as mm-hmm. your brain starts to open up its consciousness and you kind of lose your sense of self. And that's where the phrase really comes from, is this loss of identity or loss of sense. But it's actually been debated a lot and applied through a lot of different philosophies, whether it's just like the drug philosophy, Jungian philosophy, mysticism, Joseph Campbell and the Hero of the Thousand Faces. Like, it has different dimensions or applications to it, and we see a few of those in this track.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be too surprising that we're mostly gonna connect to what Kanye's doing with Joseph Campbell, who has studied like storytelling, you know, it's like basically applied it to like narratives.
So the first time we hear it from Ty, it just kind of seems to be with that blissfulness that comes with a drug trip, or that, maybe not bliss is the right, blissfulness is the right word, but the widening of the mind that comes with a drug trip. But then mm-hmm. with the chorus, murdered my ego when you walked away. It hurt my ego when you walked away. There's this loss of the relationship that starts to have him rethink his ego and who he had been in the relationship and maybe what damage it had caused, which in that ego death, it kind of opens you up to looking at yourself and your behavior and getting this distant view of who you are and who you want to be, which is, I think, probably a necessary step in a lot of just growth as an individual. You need your ego to die in a little bit so you can build yourself back up, which actually FKA Twigs gets into at the end with, I let my ego down and then I rise back up.
Yeah, and it's kind of a mutual thing that's going on, because at first Ty Dolla $ign says, gave you my all, that wouldn't make you stay. And then later he says, gave me your all, that wouldn't make me stay. And it's kind of this mutual splitting with the ego, like, because I think largely the song is using ego as like, ego is purely what you're expected to be. Like, your ego builds when you're satisfying all of these facets that society has defined you should be. Like, you've won these awards, you've become this kind of person. And when you start doing all those things that people look at you as someone who's successful and like accomplishing all these things they've set out for you to do, your ego builds. But letting go of that ego means that you stop finding value. And this is just purely my reading, because I'm just applying my own philosophies and worldviews to this. But, like, when you split ways with that, like, you stop caring what's expected of you and your ego starts diminishing. And then that's when they walk away and you walk away too. Like, you're both kind of mutually agreeing that, like, this isn't for me. Like, I'm not going to be satisfying these requirements that you've set out for me.
That's a really great point. And just in terms of, like, what ego means, because there really is that more straightforward, like, ego is self,
right?
But then there's also ego in terms of our I'm trying to think what the synonym would be for it, this descriptive, what you were saying, in terms of like this sense of self-worth or self-importance mm-hmm. that comes from satisfying like cultural norms around you and the praise you get from that, which increases the ego that you have because you've been getting this positive reinforcement. Right. So you have the reading of it as just purely like how you think of yourself or how you think of who you are. And then the ego that's actually your sense of self-worth and self-importance that comes through. And what ego death is in that case can change, as it's either that death of self-importance or that death of actual thinking about yourself. Where I think in drug trips, it tends to be more of that death of thinking about yourself, and you start looking out to the broader world mm-hmm. outside of you. But when you think about like murder my ego when you walked away, it's getting more at that idea of self-esteem and the value that's tied to ego.
Ah, da ist meine Prime-Bestellung.
Was? Jetzt schon?
Nur eine Sache begeistert so wie die schnelle Lieferung mit Prime. Und zwar das tolle Unterhaltungsangebot von Prime.
Was schauen wir uns an?
Fallout ist zurück mit Staffel 2. Unsere Lieblingshelden kämpfen sich durch die brutale und bizarre Einöde, um dahin zu gelangen, wo alles begann. New Vegas.
Schnelle, kostenlose Lieferung, geniale Unterhaltung und mehr gibt's bei Prime. Für nur 8,99 Euro pro Monat. Werde jetzt Prime-Mitglied. Die Inhalte können Werbung enthalten. Fortlaufende Mitgliedschaft. Mehr auf amazon.de/prime.
Yeah, and that whole, everything you just said makes me think of Joseph Campbell and how it's used in storytelling, like the idea of the death of the ego. And to me, it just kind of indicates somebody who's been on this long, arduous journey, has like gone through all these trials and tribulations, and they get to this point where they have to finally conquer, you know, their final goal, their greatest adversary. And really, you can't do that until you let go of your ego, like you completely stop thinking about your own self-interests and you think about the greater good. Like that's ultimately what ego death is. It's when you stop letting society define you and letting like these temptations define who you are, like and just do what you think is right and like do something for the greater good of the world.
Well, also just getting away from like, it could be what somebody, I'm thinking about it in terms of storytelling, like Billy Madison, right? Is the movie I keep going to.
That's okay. We all love it.
Examples of ego death. When he starts, he's very self-interested and indulgent in that movie. He's just a rich kid that gets drunk all the time, does drugs with his friends, and his life is kind of a waste. But because his dad's very wealthy, he gets away with it. And then when he thinks his dad's going to give the company to somebody else that's actually like a bad, miserable person, Billy takes action to win the company from this guy. And at first it's in that self-interested, indulgent way, but a better directed version of that. But he goes back to school because he never got his high school diploma. That's going to be what he has to do to prove that he deserves a company. And going on that journey causes him to confront himself and his behaviors in a lot of ways. And up till the end of the movie, he's still dealing with his ego until he finally throws all of that out, like all of his self-interest and indulgence, and starts doing things for other people. And I don't think that's necessarily going against like society or the expectations of others, but getting out of your own way and like your own bad behavior, and then looking at how you can help others around you more so than what you're getting out of it yourself. I mean, he ultimately ends up giving the company to somebody that's more deserving of it rather than keeping it for himself.
Good old Carl.
I had a friend in college who was named Carl. And what was it like? Carl, how are you?
Nice
to see you. Everybody in the fraternity would do that. And he got so mad. I think it's actually one of the reasons he dropped out.
Dropped out of school?
Yeah, he dropped out. I think he got his degree from somewhere else eventually. But he was like really unhappy. And he would complain about that aspect of it a lot.
Wow. You know what? If I knew a guy named Carl, like I'd probably ruin his life too, because I would say it constantly.
Just constantly. I heard it every day.
Good.
I was around him like often, but he had to have heard it more than me.
Oh God, I admit. You know what though? I would probably relate to Carl a lot, because with the last name Bean, a lot of people scream Bean at me in the hallways of my high school, and it was very annoying. I almost dropped out.
Like, you mother. It's fascinating that ego death can take on those different roles of, you can have something like that, but then you can have somebody that frees themselves from the confines of what's expected of them. Like, I think about The Matrix, and that's an ego death in a way. And that's more about getting out of the system and what the system expects from you and demands of you. And just getting back to like who you truly are.
Yeah, I like the way you're approaching it, because like when you talk about Billy Madison, you talk about something very micro that is just like true to Billy. It's not a larger reflection of like what society expects from him. but his journey is pretty similar to Neo's journey. Like, ultimately, they're all kind of getting at the same thing, like getting past this part of yourself. No matter what's putting that pressure on you to be a certain kind of person, it's all about killing that ego. And I think the song generally gets at that, like Ty's Dolla $ign's verse, like sounds like he's talking about a woman or like this relationship that he's in that's not good. And then Kanye kind of blows it up to a broader, more macro level. He's talking about society and then what the ego death means in that case. Like, there's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah, right. Because the Ty Dolla $ign chorus and verse and situation, just this dynamic with this woman, is broad enough that I think most of us can relate it to experiences that we've had in life, mm-hmm. and moments where our ego was damaged or we realized we fucked up, and or times where we let our ego die through drugs or alcohol or what have you, some kind of indulgence that just got us out of our self-awareness. But then to have Kanye kind of come through and go way more societal and specific with it and kind of demonstrate this version of ego death or how ego death applies in this situation, that's much more like nonfiction, is I think really cool.
Yeah, we were talking about it before we started recording, and the way you were describing it made me think of Jay's verse on Diamonds from Sierra Leone, because Kanye talks about diamonds in this very specific way, and then everybody looks at the way Jay is talking about diamonds and are like, man, Jay's just bragging about his wealth and all that. But really what Jay does is take the Ryman, the Ryman. He does rhyme in the song. He takes a diamond and applies it to Rockefeller, and this, and you know, the diamond becomes this ultimate symbol of wealth, which juxtaposes Kanye's own guilt that he feels from getting these diamonds. So like, it's cool that Kanye's kind of doing something similar in the song. Like, he takes the very micro thing that Ty Dolla $ign is talking about and kind of blows it up, and like, I don't know, he just makes it a lot more nuanced and a lot more societal and just something bigger than what you originally thought it would be.
Yes, very, very much so. And to have that dynamic of the artists both bringing their own perspectives on the topic to the table, and people can connect to each one and kind of see more of the multifaceted look on that topic, I always think is really cool.
Yeah, love it.
Like a dumb version of that. It's not dumb, but I just don't think it's the connection most people would see would be like Forever, the Drake song. Mm-hmm. That was the first Drake song I ever heard, but like the concept is Forever, and you have Kanye, Lil Wayne, Eminem, and Drake all kind of riffing on that subject and bringing their own versions of what forever means to them to the table, which I always like hearing that kind of thing. Or So Appalled is another song that kind of has that main concept, and you hear people come in and bring different ways of talking. Monsters, another one. It happens all the time.
Yeah. Kanye's always involved.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? Seems that way. So the Kanye verse is like way more political than what I was expecting.
Yeah, I guess during this time, though, it's not that surprising. This was before. No, wait. What did he say he wasn't going to talk about politics anymore? That was like late 2018.
It was, I think he had the blow up with Candace Owens where he said he realized he had been used for politics. I think that was end of October or early December. It was one of the two.
So, yeah. So I guess like right now it seems weird that Kanye's getting political, but back then maybe it wasn't as weird.
I want to scroll all the way back, but you have that day where you had like 113 tweets.
That's always annoying when you're trying to find a Kanye tweet and you're like, oh God, isn't it December 31st when he was doing all that?
Yeah, December 31st, the 30th, 28th.
It was like right at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. It was one of the two.
17th, he had a ton. 15th.
Oh, yeah. Those were the glory days of Kanye's tweeting.
It looks like it was the 15th. I don't blame people for not knowing how to handle this. That said, we as a society will learn together. We all growing together. Drake and Trav both love Ye more than anyone, and I love those guys back. We love everyone. Yeah, this was all on the 15th. People try to handle you when they think you have a mental problem. I've been trying to do a serious interview speaking on mental health, but it seems as though all members of press are afraid to speak to someone who has been diagnosed but is still everyone's favorite superhero.
Should we just have a podcast where you read Kanye's tweets?
I could do it justice, you know?
Actually, that's a pitch I have for Kanye. If you ever want to come on the show and just read your tweets, because it would be great to get all of your tweets in your own voice, like, we're down.
We are more than down. It's always nice to scroll through these because I just see the times where he retweeted us.
And you know what? I'll be honest. It's nice to hear you scroll through them.
Yeah, that's compelling broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm riveted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was October.
Okay.
Pretty sure. So yeah, this could have been like recorded early October, August. I mean, it was September 28th. It was supposed to come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Yandy was.
Yeah. If this like, was on Yandy.
Yeah. So that August, September period, Kanye was in his political bag.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
but yeah, I feel like the Super Bowl stuff, and I've never really heard this point made before, which kind of blew my mind. And it was so foreign to me that I needed you to explain
it. It is a weird line. Like, it's kind of hard to grasp right away.
Artists can't perform the Super Bowl, but it's okay for the players. I was like, what players have performed at the Super Bowl? Like, at halftime, they're all in the, like, locker room? But you were saying that it was more to do with people protesting artists that were performing?
Yeah. I think the beginning of this verse, and it's meant to set up the rest of the verse, like kind of looking at the, which I guess I'll say is more of a liberal attitude, when there was all this pressure on like Maroon 5 and Big Boy to not perform at the Super Bowl. And there were these calls for them to like pull out of doing Super Bowl because Jay-Z pulled out of doing Super Bowl. They were saying that the NFL was so unfair to Colin Kaepernick, that like you shouldn't perform. And there's this just like, but at the same time, like, but it's okay for the players to perform. Like, are we just like, why are we only going after artists for doing this and not just like the bigger problem, the entire NFL, like everybody participating in this? And Kanye refers to it as these halfway movements. So I think he's just getting at like, there's so much, and this gets at the larger like ego death, the way Kanye's looking at ego, which ego is like satisfying these liberal talking points. Like if Maroon 5 had pulled out of the Super Bowl, like they would have gained a lot of respect and their ego would have grown. But ultimately, like, I guess that's Kanye will get into that later in the verse, but here at the beginning, like, it's just getting at that, like, you're just looking at the artist doing it, but not the players. Like, you're not really committing to holding the NFL accountable and doing something for the greater good.
Right, because if the point was really to like let the NFL know this isn't okay, it would just be all the players stop, like, yes, all the fans stop. Like, you're going to demand that Jay-Z doesn't perform, or you're going to demand that Maroon 5 doesn't perform, but you're still going to go to the game, you're still going to watch the game, you're still going to cheer the players on. All the players are upset about Kaepernick, but they're all still going to play. Yeah, there's calling out that grandstanding without the action. It feels very black skinhead.
Yeah, and like later talks, Kanye talks about the Grammys and this idea like, oh, you need like all these awards. Like, no, we're trying to win something we already have. Like, I think that's what he's getting at. It's like, when you kill the ego, if the ego is attached to like you satisfying what society expects from you, then like you're just yourself and you're just doing things for that are good. That you're just doing things that you think are right and moral. Like, you're not being dictated anymore.
Yeah, there's a description on the Ego Death Wikipedia page from Jungian psychology that says, in order to radically improve global quality of life, it seems necessary to have a fundamental transformation of the psyche. Such a shift in personality has been labeled an ego death in Buddhism or a psychic death by Jung, because it implies a shift back to the existential position of the natural self. i.e. living the true purpose of life. The problem of healing and improving the global quality of life seems strongly connected to the unpleasantness of the ego death experience. And this was according to Vindegaat and Merrick, the Jungian term psychodeath. Is a psychic death is a synonym for ego death. But this idea of shifting back to an existential position of the natural self and living the true purpose of life is what you're talking about, like specifically with Kanye here, getting away from all those expectations and getting back to just the self and the true self and the natural self and what you think is good.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, isn't this something people say, like a kindergartner knows right from wrong, like kids just naturally know like what is right and what is wrong. And it's when you grow up and like all these different worldview, like you get a different worldview, it's like all these different mindsets are introduced and you get a more complex view of the world, like all these different things start dictating the way you act and what you think is right and wrong. But ultimately, like, you know, like if you're just your natural self, like you do what's right. Like if you're not worried about your ego or your status, like you're just a good person.
I think it probably goes back a little bit what you're just saying, to like Kanye has talked about the simulation, and you're a 4-year old and you feel like standing on the table because it makes you feel like Superman and it makes you feel good and empowered, but it's other people around you that like glare and tell you to get down off the table because society says that you're not supposed to stand on tables. Right. So even though you're doing something that is empowering to you, it makes you feel bad because of how people treat you. And then you grow up having these complexes based on what you feel like you want to do, what you feel like would make you feel empowered and good, but that you don't because you're worried about society or you've been trained by society and you become part of the simulation. So I think that's a lot of what Ghost Town was getting at too, with that put my hand on the stove to see if I still bleed, like I am a child.
Yeah.
Like we're still the kids that we used to be. Like all of that is getting in some sense to the same idea of ego death.
Yeah. Like it all plays into Kanye's rebirth rhetoric. Like the idea that it extends from Ye to Jesus is King in different ways, but ultimately he's always beginning at this idea that like the destruction of the ego allows you to be born again and become that kid and just like see the world with fresh eyes. And I think that's that first line of his verse. A lot of people be thinking, but I'm just a sayer. Like, I think that's kind of getting at that, is like, he's not somebody who wants to sit around and like think about like, ooh, I should say this way or do this that way, because like, that's what people will expect someone to do. Like, no, like I'm just a sayer. I just go out and do things because I'm Kanye and I think I know what's right, so I go and do it.
Yep. I mean, even Ye, you look at the first song, I Thought About Killing You. That's as much about ego as it is anything else, or only about ego as much as anything else. Like, he's talking about, I thought about killing my ego, which is why the album title is a lowercase y. It's the capital idea of Ye and his ego being cut down to like Ye. And Kids See Ghosts, the turning point song on that album, is Free and having this sense of freedom, which also gets back to like being kids again, right? So it seems to be a lot of the sense of like freedom and idea and getting back to the natural state of being that Kanye was dealing with and going through in 2018 that is very much found expressed on Ye, Kids See Ghosts, but then also carries through to this song.
Yeah. You know, I'm really curious about the line, don't make me go Rastafar, because when I hear that, like, I immediately think of, like, I am a god. And, like, the whole Jesus era, really, because Rastafarianism, there's this belief in Jah, like, the inner god. And you know, that's really the irony and point of I am a god, is, like, somebody who doesn't think of himself on the level of like Jesus or God. He just is channeling his inner God and looking to do good with that. Like, he's gonna go preach the word of God and do what God would expect people to do. I kind of wonder what he means by that line. Like, is that what he's saying? Like, don't make me God. I don't know. Is he just saying like, don't make me go Jesus on everybody?
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Well, when you look at the context, it goes, trying to win some we already have, trying to become something we already are. Don't make me go Rastafar. If you do, no try, no die, and we live it, I'm living, I get more specific. It almost seems like he's doing a wordplay on don't make me go too far.
Yeah.
And being kind of cute with the Rastafar on it. But I do wonder, I mean, Rastafar, Rastafarian is often tied up with smoking weed. I don't know if there's something with that, like, don't make me, like, go smoke. Ah, that seems kind of silly, interesting. But
I didn't even think of that.
You do have earlier in the verse, like, way too many drugs. It's so bad for us. I don't know if there's just something in line with that, which might be a little too reductive, though. Or maybe just because, because he is like a Christian, like, don't make me go Rastafar.
Yeah, it's because, like, when I think about ego death and like channeling the inner God, like, ultimately, again, I think that's a good thing. I am a God. It's played to like ridiculous levels and meant to convey someone's ego who's out of control, who maybe doesn't understand the point of like channeling an inner God. Like, to me, the idea of that in Rastafarianism is channeling like the part of yourself that carries out what God expects us to do. So I wonder if that's, I feel like, I wonder if it's like a little cutesy nod to that, like, don't make me channel this part of myself that came out during I'm like, I don't know, but I like the line because it reminds me of Jesus.
Yeah, there is context and places you can start to go with that. I mean, and it goes like, if you do, no try, no die, and we live it, I'm living, I get more specific. All these admirations, likes, and false validations feed into our ego. Talk for something, Negro, which feed into our ego does channel Jesus as well, right? Like, I'm a God, despite the Rastafarianism concepts of like channeling God, and also the biblical line about yay are all gods or yay are gods, and just the idea that if you are a Christian, you're godly, or that we're all kind of connected to God in that way. But you can take that to the level that Jesus took it, where he is demanding everything and trying to act like a god or put himself on the level of a god, and that's because his ego is being fed into. And here he's saying all these admirations, likes, and false validations feed into our ego, which is very Jesus like and then saying you need to talk for something. Like, it can't just be about the ego, you need to be doing something for others, which simultaneously gets at both of those ideas about the ego, right? Or no, it doesn't even get at both the ideas of ego. It just gets at the one about society and the fact that we get this inflated sense through the praise of people in society, but that doesn't actually mean that we're doing good for society.
Yeah.
And you actually have to be doing something good for society to feel good, because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, everything you just said just does not really make me think that this is a bit of a counter to Jesus, because you have that Rastafari line, which makes me think of I am a God, and on Jesus, like, that ego that inflates an I am a God leads to new slaves, where he looks around at society and looks at all the problems and all the people he needs to be fighting to solve those problems. And in this song, in this verse, he does kind of the same thing. He talks about going Rastafar, like looking within, and then he starts looking at all these problems plaguing society, like 1 of 4 get locked up, plan B was a plan A to lower the count of our families. Like, it seems like he's channeling some anger there, but in a different way. Like, he's not in Jesus mode where he thinks he has like these godlike powers and can like lead a revolution. Like, it seems more that I'm killing my ego and I see that these problems are out there. Like, I'm in a better place to go out and solve these problems.
And for anybody that hasn't listened to our Jesus episodes, the basic idea is that on site, we just get introduced to the character and the superficial aspects of his life. But Black Skinhead, you see him start to turn his attention to society and the racism in society and the unfairness in society, and that people aren't doing shit and they need a leader, which is why he thinks of himself as the new Malcolm X. Mm. And then I Am a God, it's him hyping himself up that he is a god, he has all this power, he can do something, which then leads into New Slaves, which is this attempted revolution of inspiring the people to go against all of these institutions that want to enslave them. But he ultimately fails, which then leads into the main body of the album, which is his confrontations with his own damage and longing and heartbreak. But you really do get a lot of that Black Skinhead callback with Ain't Nobody Doing Shit. The I Am a God callback with the Rastafarianism, even though the Rastafarian aspect might not be obvious to a lot of people when you start going into like aspects of the song. There's a sampler and interpolation at the beginning that is in line with that. Mm-hmm. And then just the Rastafarian concept of like the inner God, the Jah that you talked about. And then you have the New Slaves aspect that comes through at the end. So very Yeezus-like.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hmm. And then you get the bridge, which I think, I don't know how, like, is he critiquing Obama?
Yeah. Okay, other than like the let the man quote line, which I'm not positive I know what that means. Like, it seems like Who Dropped Jones on him is talking about Obama, and I think that gets, again, is a strange sort of cryptic way. Cryptic if you don't know anything about Obama dropping drones on people and killing them. of getting at, like, again, his like battle with the liberal mindset and expectations from liberals to like, you can do this, this, and this, but don't talk on this and this. Like, act this way, don't act this way. And I think that's getting at this, is like Kanye is like speaking up against a liberal leader. And then he takes on this really funny, I think, tone of voice where he's like, yay, don't take that tone on him. Don't go watch the throne on him. I guess getting at the larger idea of like, you can't dictate the way I act.
Yeah, right. Like, and that gets back to the ego as well. He's at a point where he just hit a billy, he going on him, like he has that freedom at this point to not be concerned about I couldn't find the line for a second. He has the money at this point and the freedom to not worry about the admirations, the likes, and false validations. Right. So he can go watch a throne on him if he wants. He can take that tone on him if he wants.
Yeah, it's cool because I think it just goes against what we typically think of as ego, you know? Like, ego is like, don't be too aggressive, don't be too loud. Like, Kanye's basically saying here, like, I got $1 billion, I'm gonna go on him, which to us seems like ego. But really he's saying like, no, actually my ego has been vanquished. Like, I've stopped caring about the way you tell me to act. Like, I've lost that part of myself and now I'm just relying on me. Like, I have $1 billion. Like, I have the ability to say something, so I will.
Yeah. And that gets into the differences on ego, right? Like, you have the ego that's just the self, and we tend to think of like reducing somebody's ego as them becoming less self-interested or less like self-reliant and thinking more about like how they can help everybody else. Like, Ebenezer Scrooge at the end of A Christmas Carol feels like he has suffered an ego death, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's only cares about his money and he was a dick to everybody else. Now he wants to be like joyful and sweet to everybody else. So this seems like the opposite of an ego death. But when you understand that it's actually gets tied to your relationship with society and how you let society control you and dictate you, that can also be a kind of ego death. So you can still be very like confident and egotistical, but still mm-hmm. have an ego death, right. Which is kind of complicated, but fascinating.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by it because I definitely have always had that very narrow-minded view of what ego means. But I didn't even know about the term ego death, and that like it's been something studied and discussed for a long time. So it's making me kind of rethink Kanye's entire rhetoric around killing his ego. Like, there's more layers to it than I thought.
Yep, very much so. But the Obama line, if you want to read it as an Obama line, there's actually, if you Google Obama and drones, you just see a ton of articles about like the amount of drone strikes that Obama carried out. I think they said it was 10 times more than Bush did. And The Atlantic has an article, Obama's weak defense on his record of drone killings.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes the let the man quotes a pro-Trump line in that context. As in, like, let him do his thing. Like, Obama dropped drones on him. So, like,
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I will say, when I initially read that line, I thought it, like, Kanye was talking about himself, because he's about to say something he's not supposed to say. So he says, like, let the man quote, like, someone else is saying that, and then Kanye says what he says. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's vague enough to where you can read a thousand different things into it, and I don't know if there's enough information to claim one's more right than the other.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, like, you have Serpent with the Feet saying, your joy isn't tied to me, in the background, which feels like also that reinforcement of ego death, where the artist is realizing that they can speak because they're not responsible for the joy of the people listening.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can either like it or dislike it. I'm not responsible for the joy that you're feeling from my art.
Totally. And Kanye really would have to get on that level at some point if he like ever wanted to be happy and like feel fulfilled, because your joy isn't tied to me. God, half the world is upset with Kanye. Like, they don't like the way he acts. But, and if he let that dictate what he did, then he wouldn't be himself. He wouldn't be the Kanye we've always known him to be.
Yeah, I just think of how that can apply to like so many people too. Yeah. Like, you look at Steve Carell, and if he thought like, oh, I can't leave the office because I'm responsible for the joy of all these people that love the show, or and just pressure like that, that can really cause somebody to suffer some, like, I don't know, psychological damage from the sense of responsibility that they feel to entertain others and be the joy of others. And I do think it's good to have some awareness of that, and like, I want to provide joy, but not that like I'm the only thing that can provide joy. But I gotta say, as much as I like love Kanye on this song, I think the outro is my favorite part.
It's like a whole different song.
Yeah, it just kind of comes in with this, is it weird to say, like, made me think of the Beastie Boys, but I guess Queen Latifah is from like that era too. Right,
yeah, it's cool. Like, the song has so many ebbs and flows, and like starts out soft, like blows up a little, and then like Kanye's part like is pretty low key, like the beat really pulls back and slowly builds up, but then like it doesn't explode until the very end with that outro. It's a very disciplined song in that sense.
Yeah, how did we spend more time talking about this than we did talking about Wash Us in the Blood?
I thought of that. You know, any Kanye talk is good.
Any Kanye talk is good. Maybe it's just we needed to talk about Wash Us in the Blood to just get back on the track to talk about this in as much detail as we did.
Well, yeah, A, that, and B, we're probably going to talk about Wash Us in the Blood again. So those two episodes added together will have a longer runtime than this episode.
Yeah, kind of holding back because we don't like this. We know that we're not really going to go into any more context. We're not going to do a whole season on Dream House, but when God's Country drops, we're going to be doing a whole season on God's Country. So we'll be going line by line. But also, I guess it also comes back to the fact that like Wash Us in the Blood doesn't have, I mean, arguably Ego Death has more content to it than Wash Us in the Blood from Kanye.
Yeah. Definitely.
And just because you have like a longer verse that's bringing forward more ideas than what Wash Us in the Blood has, more of that repetition on it. which is striking and still powerful, not a bad thing, but it's just difference in like how many topics you can bring to the table.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you said it, like, we're more concerned of Kanye's albums and album long narratives. So like, we're a little hesitant to apply too much meaning to his lyrics just when we hear a single song.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Eh. Well, anything else on ego death?
No, this has convinced me to murder my ego.
It's convinced me to at least excitedly listen to Ty Dolla $ign's album when it comes out.
You'll think about the ego thing later.
I'm an only child. I think it's just...
Your ego knows no bounds.
Kanye's an only child, so if he can do it...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He can do it. Now, because Kanye... you know, has his ego death, does that now make it like a cool societal driven thing? And having an ego death is now like ego?
Yeah. Wow. You know what? I can't handle this right now. This is too much.
Yeah. You're welcome, Travis.
My brain's Bean. Frying. You call me Bean.
All right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You motherfucker.
I'm sorry. You can call me Cheese. That's what they called me in high school.
Yeah, Cheese or Lambie Lambert.
Yeah, or Baby Lambert. I started getting called in college because a girl came back with my friend one night and she looked into my room and she's like, Baby Lambert, as I was like swaddled in my covers.
Oh, God. Can we call you, what is it? Ham-fisted, what was it?
Oh, what? Smudge Hands Ham Boy? That's what my wife's cousin called me.
I don't want you to explain it. Just the name's enough.
Smudge Hands Ham Boy.
That is the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. Right, well, we'll be back soon as more Kanye content drops.
Yeah, he's going nonstop, so I guess we'll be back tomorrow or something.
Yeah, right. Until then, you can find our Kanye News updates on our YouTube channel and maybe the Kanye News podcast, if I have that up right now. It will be up. And then our Patreon has all of our old episodes if you want our line-by-line song analysis for the entirety of Kanye's discography. $5 a month, patreon.com/Kanye Podcast.
Go get it.
Please.
Okay. Stay waiting.
Loopy.
They ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.